This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. People still sending in their embarrassing moments. Third grade trip to Space Center Houston. Thought we could access the controls on display. Thought it was interactive. Ran into the exhibit face first and bounced back. They said the glass was clear as hell.
Well, they keep it clean, man.
Oh, man. I still can't believe that people actually run into glass like that.
I've done it once. Sliding door in college.
How much alcohol was involved in this?
I'm sure there was some.
Okay, that's what I figured. I was like, hey, man, entirely sober, just running into glass.
It didn't break. It was just like, oh, okay, that's closed.
My dog ran into a clear gate. Actually, rest in peace to Stanley. When I brought him up here one time, he was running around and ran right into the glass.
The window?
Yeah, he ran right into it. I could tell he was embarrassed, too. Like, he did not run since.
He was like, I'm walking everywhere.
Yeah, he like, I'm going to follow you, big dog.
That's hilarious. All right. Around the NFL, we mentioned yesterday about the Cowboys consummating a trade with the Steelers that would see George Pickens become their new, I guess, probably XY receiver, big play guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody maybe outside of Justin Jefferson has as many 20-plus yard catches, receptions, right, as he does. And Dak Prescott likes throwing those up there. So that's a matchup that looks like, at least on the field when it comes to the actual in-game type stuff, is a good pairing. But obviously, then on the other side, you look at the Steelers and you go, huh, okay, what does this mean for you? Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, not much, apparently. They are still reportedly in contact with Aaron Rodgers. According to Jeremy Fowler, he said there's no hard update at this point, so we're still kind of in that holding pattern. Because, you know, Rodgers had said, I think on Pat McAfee, that he'd be willing to take $10 million and that he was dealing with some personal stuff. And it seems like the Steelers are just waiting for him. And in some ways, I was like, it feels like this is a perfect match, right? The Steelers and Aaron Rodgers, because they're used to a quarterback that is just not able to make up his mind on whether or not he wants to play or not. And that was Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it was.
How bad would it be if he decided not to go there?
Well, yes, dude, absolutely.
Dude, you got Mason Rudolph.
But what I'm
Will Howard.
Yeah.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. What I'm wondering, though, is like, what could he be contemplating right now? There's nothing left to contemplate. Everybody is pretty much setting their rosters. You know what the Steelers situation is at quarterback. I'm sure you know what the offer is. You just said you'd take $10 million. What could he be like?
He ain't trying to.
Why is he still going?
He trying to show up late.
I don't know.
That's all it is.
I just don't know. You know what?
He trying to show up late.
Well, that ain't great. Yeah.
Yeah, and showing up late is fine if you do not have if it's the guy that's been in the building is ultimately what I was thinking about. That's not here. Like, that's not what we're talking about here with those guys. Like, so he would have to come in, get an understanding of the offense, hopefully develop a little bit of chemistry with the guys that you have, including, obviously, DK Metcalf. And the 832 said, if I was DK Metcalf, I'd be concerned. Yeah.
I would be pissed.
Although there is one option that still remains out there that I think both sides probably would like to have something right done, which is Kirk Cousins, who is playing. He's playing good soldier in Atlanta there as the backup, at least for right now. But you know he doesn't want to be there, and they're kind of holding steady there that they are willing to keep him on the roster. But there's a lot of money there that you'd be paying to a backup who I don't think you even really feel comfortable running out there after the clear decline for him. I know he was dealing with injuries last year, but still, that feels like that'd be a good backup, like a guy who could come in, be a starter caliber, at least be better than Mason Rudolph.
But wouldn't you like to know if you could go that route?
I personally would, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, no, but the Steelers are apparently in this place where they are comfortable staying there at quarterback. And I have often given Mike Tomlin, even though he's not, I imagine he's a large part of the decision-making process, but he's not the general manager. Yeah. I've given them a lot of, him in particular, a lot of leeway on the idea of, why can Mike Tomlin have these, you know, never have a record below 500, but then not go and win? I'm like, well, clearly they're always good enough to where they can't get a quarterback.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those instances where you're doing it to yourself, man.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing it to yourself.
How so?
Well, I mean, they're basically just waiting on Aaron Rodgers here.
But are they in a position to give him a deadline? And boy, if they were, they should have done it already.
And that's what I'm saying.
You know? I mean, the other thing is, like, if you do get him, this got to work.
Well,
this can't look like the Jets, man. Mm-hmm. Then otherwise, we might be talking about him getting fired.
Yeah, no, there's a lot on the line for Mike Tomlin here. No question.
You passed up on quarterbacks in the draft. I mean, they could probably get another quarterback next year or something. But.
Yeah, but remarkably, there was already a lot of buzz about his job status. And you messed this up.
So if you have a bad year, another kind of meh type of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. That's what's happening, which is nothing is happening, and the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are still sitting around staring at each other from across the room trying mm-hmm. to decide if they want to go home together.
Yeah.
We'll see what that ultimately looks like eventually once we get to maybe, I don't know, August. Maybe they'll make the decision by then. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Some other things around the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, like the NFL is just, it's a juggernaut at this point. They make money hand over fist. They kind of do what they want. They've been out here taking blocks. Remember, mm-hmm. we know that there's going to be a triple header mm-hmm. on Christmas this year, which I'm sure the NBA is looking at. And throwing up double birds to the NFL because that was our block. Well, there is somebody who is fighting for the little man when it comes to the NFL's overreach, and his name is Ted Cruz.
Oh, wow.
Yep. No, so Ted Cruz apparently has been is talking about how the NFL has been, quote, tiptoeing up to the rule that protects college and high school football and from, like, the NFL and their broadcast, which is, you know, Friday and Saturday. There's actually a law mm-hmm. on the U.S. books that states that, you know, the NFL can infringe on these times that are historically and culturally set aside for high school football, which obviously mm-hmm. matters a good amount here in the state of Texas, but then also college football. It's why the NFL doesn't broadcast those games on Saturdays until they get to late in the season when college football, the regular season, is over.
Mm-hmm.
It came up in the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1960, mm-hmm. which gave the NFL that antitrust exemption except for this particular space. And the NFL has been trying to find ways to creep in there. Like Thanksgiving, obviously, is one of those spaces where they jump in there, and that's typically been the domain of college football. And Ted Cruz is looking to try and curtail this. I am very intrigued by this because I agree with the sentiment. I just don't know that Ted Cruz has, like, the political capital to get things done because I feel like he hasn't really pushed a lot of legislation through.
No, he hasn't, but that's neither here nor there on this. I don't think this is something like you can you win this if the NFL is still, like, what can you do? Because the NFL is still playing its games on the days that are kind of like in the gray area there. Yeah, because it goes into early December. That's when all the Saturday games really kick in.
And that's legal. That's within this. I think the part that there's concern about is because with streaming coming in, which is why, you know, on Christmas you mm-hmm. have, right, that the Netflix games, and you have streaming coming in because that's how they did the Black Friday game, mm-hmm. remember? Which typically would be one of those spaces that I think is kind of exempted, right? Yeah. That Black Friday game. But they did it on streaming, and we're trying to get a little bit of clarity as, you know, a lot of these rules apply to television.
Mm-hmm.
How much do they apply to streaming? And can the NFL find these loopholes here? And that's going to be real interesting to see, because if the NFL does find a loophole, I don't know what I'm going to do on a Saturday if there's NFL and
Amazon
college football games going
Saturday
at the same time.
In October.
Like, I have no idea what I'm going to do for my, like, I'm already sick enough starting on a Saturday at 11 a.m. and going all the way till midnight and then turn around on Saturday and going from noon.
That's a different type of grime. And when it's football season all over, then you got Saturday all day, Sunday all day.
And what Reggie's talking about, I think, is definitely at least being thought about. You know, Netflix, Amazon, streaming only on a Saturday in October. Well, then Texas is playing Oklahoma. You know, or something like that. That's where it does. Come on now.
And honestly, I do wonder, what do they benefit from this? Because I feel like a lot of the, and of course, it's going to be a Venn diagram where there's some spaces that there isn't overlap. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is a huge overlap.
Oh, yeah.
Almost a circle between college football fans and NFL
huge.
Fans.
Yeah. I mean, this might sound crazy, but could something like that hurt the NFL just a little bit?
I don't think so.
I don't know because
like just a little,
maybe a tiny bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because it seems like everything they've been doing, especially mm-hmm. with the NBA,
mm-hmm.
has been benefiting. Like, it's been working. So now it seems like, oh, this is college football. This ain't the NBA.
Well, here's the part that I think is what the NFL has always banked on. You know, college football, it's much more of a national sport now. We know that.
Yes.
But it is still heavy, heavy South and Southeast. Heavy. On the East Coast, New York, Boston, West Coast, you know, L.A., California, they don't really watch a lot of college football.
Well, I think
as compared to other areas of the country.
And I think one of the things that has maybe has shifted that is as college football has become less of a regional sport.
Right, right.
I think we're getting more national sport, and so it makes it a little bit easier to tap in, almost like the NFL, mm-hmm. where you know where the big powers are and you kind of know their stories as opposed to where it was. Yeah. And you're like, well, this is our school out here, and USC is doing this, mm-hmm. and so we know what's happening there. I think the national level of it has happened. But to your question, Figgy, I don't know that it hurts them in the immediate because – one of the things that they would be doing is selling or like generating more money on those packages on those streaming ones. So what happens or how much does it hurt if you're getting this whole additional revenue on top and maybe the ratings aren't as great as mm-hmm. if you put all the games on a Sunday, but it's not like all those games on Sunday, we're not able to see every single one of them unless you have the Sunday ticket or unless you have, you know, Red Zone, you're still going to have those spots filled and advertisers paying for them.
Yeah. So pretty much coming out a little bit even, mm-hmm. I guess, because I felt like when they going against the NBA on Christmas, that was a good thing to the point they want to do more of it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if you college football a little bit, like, I don't know if it's going to have that same result as, like, going against the NBA or mm-hmm. Black Friday or something like that.
Yeah. No, but it is amazing, like, how much when you travel to those East Coast areas, those West Coast areas, how little college football is considered, you know, a go-to television event. It's amazing.
Yeah. And so maybe that, I don't know if that still exists in that same
way. Not as much, but it still does exist.
But maybe that is another instance where the mm-hmm. NFL finds another way to grab more viewership on a day where they typically wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm still, because again, I'm as we talk through this, I'm looking at this, and if they were able to find their way around this sports broadcasting law of mm-hmm. 1960, it's another instance where the NFL is like, finding a way to not get slaughtered in that old pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, just more and more and more in a way that feels like it's never ending. But there you go. Around the NFL, one more thing around the NFL. I do want to go to Thomas Patrick Brady. Edward Patrick.
This was good.
Right in there. Yeah. Tom Brady was on the, and I forget the name of the podcast, but it's the Logan Paul podcast. I was about to go to it and I immediately forgot it. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about various things, including one of the things that has been popular in the NFL world after the draft. Why did Shedeur Sanders fall in this draft, especially because there's a relationship there, mm-hmm. and the Raiders are one of those teams that people looked up and they were like, could that be a situation, a place where he goes? This is Tom Brady talking about the fall of Shedeur in that draft.
Elephant in the room, Shedeur Sanders. What happened, Tom? Why did he go so late in the draft?
It's a good question. I wasn't a part of any evaluation process or to
Skip Bayless
see
says
that.
Otherwise.
No. Well, everyone's got every, you know, that's the problem with media is everyone can just say whatever the they want. I actually texted Shedeur because I know him very well. And I said, dude, like whatever happens, wherever you go, like that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199.
Yeah.
So who could speak on it better than me? Like what that really means. Yeah. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it.
Funny part for me was I wasn't involved at all. I texted Shedeur.
No, what's funny is I forgot he was part ownership of the Raiders.
Yeah.
So that because I'm like, why would he be? I'm like, oh, yeah, you are on that side of the fence.
I didn't put that one in buy or sell, but I'm still selling on that one. Come on, that's Tom Brady. He's involved in everything.
Yeah. I'm sure Shedeur would take that in stride. And it seems like that was his general outlook anyways, is look, you know, wherever it is, go to work. So in that wherever being Cleveland. And I mean, there's an opportunity to win space in that. Mm-hmm. But oh my goodness, the idea that they're actually like there's a family friendship there.
Yeah.
And that he went in the fifth round. Like they're going to do the Tom Brady thing if he does indeed succeed. Right.
We're sure,
going
to hear about Shedeur Sanders
and why he probably going to lean into it
forever mm-hmm. and ever.
And by the way, his number is 12.
That is true.
That's right.
And that's true. What is it? SS12. I don't know if that sounds good or as good as TB12, but we'll see what that looks like. One more. This is Tom Brady talking about the four defenders that he absolutely hated getting hit by.
Is there anyone that you were like afraid to get hit by?
Oh, a lot of guys. Ndamukong Suh, maybe Ray Lewis was at the top. Yeah. Ndamukong Suh, I didn't like getting hit by him.
Yeah.
JJ Watt wasn't very fun to get hit by.
I figured you'd say JJ Watt.
Yeah, Haloti Ngata, you remember him? He was about 340 pounds, played for the Ravens. He was massive. So yeah, like that's not fun.
It's a great
word. No
kidding. Takeaway. I thought it looked great. I was like, Haloti Ngata hitting you on that. Maybe that's.
Ooh, I want to be quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And JJ, you know, not only the size, because he was pushing 290 most of his career, but the speed. You know, he had Ngata's just he was a hell of a player. He's one of my favorite players, but he's just a big dude in the middle.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Whereas JJ would be coming off that edge at that size. You know, that's no fun.
No, not at all. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'd be scared of Ray Lewis too, man.
Oh yeah, he mentioned Ray Lewis. That's
100%.
Yeah.
Yes, those are my favorite to think about. Is just the dudes who are like big and strong and also fast.
Yes,
just like, oh no, that's not fun at all. So yeah, shout out to Tom Brady, and I understand why he was, you know, very adamant about getting them rules in his favor. I also would not like to take those knocks. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Rockets again. We talked about this yesterday. The idea that. Seems like maybe they lean more towards the idea of standing pat with the group that they have. And if that's the case, right, something that they said was interesting to me. Do you agree with the idea that Reed is the most offensively talented player on this roster? And if so, what does that mean for the squad going forward? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next. All right. This Rockets team, obviously, they're headed into their offseason strong with some big decisions to make. One of those a little bit easier, mind you, because Fred VanVleet, the decision that it felt like they were going to have to make by the end of this week on whether or not they were going to pick up the team option for the final year of his contract to decide if they wanted to pay that $44.5 million or make him a free agency, and I imagine then decide on some level of renegotiated contract for, you know, beyond that. That's been pushed back. And you have the date on that?
No, let me.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I have a thought on that. I think they pushed it back to June 6th or something like that. But anyway, first week of June.
I thought it was the end of June.
I thought it was maybe, well, but of course,
not the 26th.
They pushed it back to June. But am I crazy? Well, yes, but
June 29th. That's right.
June 29th.
There we go. I want to make sure I had the right date.
Is it possible? Let me put it that way. They pushed this back. They said they want to make sure they get it all, lined up and good to go, and give themselves time to negotiate and all that stuff. The NBA draft lottery is this weekend, right?
It'll be Monday. Monday is when we'll know. Monday. Yes.
You think that's playing a part in this?
I'm sure that plays a part in the
because they would have had just. I'm sorry, but just so they would have had to sign it by Friday, right?
Well, make the decision.
Make the decision.
I don't know that they would have to sign.
Well, yeah, but make the decision by Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. But the lottery is Monday.
Correct.
Do you think that's maybe a factor in pushing back?
I mean, probably, and I don't think it's just that. I think it's so that they can get an idea on where they're going with the offseason, give them a little time to see if anything, any offers or any conversations clear that very high bar that they've talked about that would, you know, have them – I guess switch the direction that they go with the personnel on this team. Yeah, I think that's just to give them more optionality on how they build this team, especially as they want to make sure that they stay within the monetary confines that the NBA has contractually. The CBA is very very technical, and I'm not trying to get into that. I think you need a JD. You need to be a lawyer in order to even understand it in a real way. But yeah, man, I get that they're. I think that's what they're doing. They push it back with the agreeable situation between them and the player, in this instance, Fred VanVleet, they'll talk about it later. And I think that's actually probably very – I think that's very positive.
It's prudent.
Because I think – well, yes, it's prudent, but I think that's positive because Fred VanVleet would have to agree to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that you only agree to, you know, doing that much later in this process if you feel like – there's a high likelihood, if not an entirely, the only place that you will land is returning back to Houston. You know what I mean? So I think that I enjoy that. And I know not everybody's going to be excited about the return of Fred VanVleet, but I've been sold on like the things that he brings to this team, even still as this team continues to mature. Mm-hmm. But speaking of maturing, one of those guys that Did not mature enough to like factor into that postseason, and we didn't get as much of him on the court as we anticipated. Hell, he was he was the opening favorite for Rookie of the Year is Reed Sheppard. And last week, Tim McMahon kind of wrote a piece about this, these all these decisions that the Rockets are going to have to make, especially at the top end of the roster, like who is that go-to guy of sorts and how they're looking for that superstar. And one of the things that was in it was about Reed Sheppard, right? The small guard, 6'2", 185 is what he is, you know, what he is kind of sitting at. And one of the things, quotes that came out of this from Rafael Stone, the general manager of the team, was, "I think Reed's just a really, really talented player. Very few people shoot as well as him. Very few people pass as well as him. And more even than passing, see the offense so clearly and so easily. That's not really a skill that is taught. Not at the level he can do it. We think he has a chance to be really special," close quote. And that, to me, sounds, and tell me if I'm getting too far ahead of myself, like they view him as potentially like the most special offensive guy on this roster. And do you believe that to be the case here when it comes to Reed and this offense?
I think it's, he said a mouthful. First of all, he said he put a lot of pressure on himself and Reed Sheppard. And I don't mind it. You know, I don't mind it at all. I think he really believes in what Reed Sheppard is. I think it needs to be qualified a little bit.
Okay, please qualify.
Because I think he's the most offensively skilled player that they have at that position. Because it shouldn't be. Reed Sheppard should not be the most offensively talented player on this squad.
You know,
he really shouldn't. It should be Jalen Green. It should be any number of other players developing, on this roster. But I also think it speaks to what that they – even more so need another offensive threat. That's where I went with that. Like, okay, I'm a fan of Reed Sheppard. I remember before the postseason, I was kind of advocating to get him more minutes. You know, what did I say, like 14 to 18 or something like that?
I recall.
Yeah, just get him some more minutes. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of what he can do offensively, but it shouldn't be. You know, he might be the most skilled shooting, as he pointed out, you know, seeing the offense, understanding where the ball needs to go,
which is really important.
But you can't, you really shouldn't. It's kind of an offshoot of the Jeremy Peña thing. Jeremy Peña is the best player on the Astros, but you kind of hope that he's not, you know, because you want Yordan and Altuve and all that. He is skilled, but I wouldn't hope that that's the go-to.
I mean, the comparison that they've made, and obviously this is like the comp as in where he could reach and how or what it would look like when he reaches his peak, I imagine, Steve Nash. So, like, it's high praise, and I could see some of it, right? They wanted him on the ball, and I remember vividly that feeling watching Summer League with Reed going, and I go, oh, I did not realize he was this good.
He could do all that,
on ball, and we know the ways that he can shoot, and he's shown instances of getting his own shot. You saw it when he went to the G League, and immediately, what was it, 45 of them things? I think there was a game against the, was it the Warriors early in the season, where he came out and he actually got run to start, and it looked fantastic for him. Like, I could see where they're coming from. What does that mean for this team, though, if he does like reach that point, but if he is indeed the most talented offensive player that you have when you're comes to pass?
It would have to be perfect world stuff. It would have to be Steve Nash type stuff.
If he is Steve Nash is your best offensive look, what does that mean for this team?
Oh, I think it's incredible. I think all of a sudden you have a guy that can take a shot at the end with confidence and lead the offense at the end with confidence, and we know that's what this team has lacked. No, I think it'd be incredible. I still am in the place where he would be, he would have to be a complimentary big time scorer on a contending team. Yeah.
Yeah, that's ultimately still one of the things that I was thinking on. And what's been kind of making me ponder this is watching the NBA playoffs right now, when you look at Jalen Brunson and the ways in which he is the best player on those New York Knicks, to the point where there's a little bit of fear with him on the floor, knowing that he has the ability to get to any shot that he needs to. And, you know, I did not see that for him when he first came in the league. And similarly, I'm not sure that I was like, yo, Steve Nash for Reed Sheppard. And so, like, what does it look like if he gets up there? And can you have a guard of his size be one of, if not your best offensive guys when he gets to that point? That's the thing that I'm still trying to ponder. But I think I lean to where you do, where I love that, and I would love to see that come along, especially sooner rather than later, because having him be able to actually get in and play maybe when Fred's off the floor, even if you could find a way, which would be really cool for them to play at the same time, it's still, like you, I'd want, you know,
number
Alperen
two
Sengun
in a perfect world.
To be
yeah.
more consistent Sengun. In that, or like whether it's Jalen Green yeah. actually developing in the way that they believe,
or someone else.
Someone else yeah. having the height and level of playing, because I don't think Amen Thompson is that guy
yeah.
per se. I think he is a great add-in with incredible defense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still feel like I would need that kind of guy. But Reed Sheppard is a guy that feels like I would love to see him come along, and I would love to see some of these things that we've seen have an opportunity to flourish.
Because think about what you're asking if you're asking a 6'2 guard to be that.
Right.
You're asking not just Steve Nash, you're looking like Steph, you know, something like that. And those guys just don't come along very often. So you can't put that on him. I like the fact that they have that confidence in him and all that, as I mentioned, but if you want him to be the guy, you're asking him to be like a unicorn, you know, almost. And that's asking too much.
Yeah. And I think yeah. that those are the types of things that you allow to come along. Like I yeah. mentioned with Jalen Brunson started as a backup point guard and then a starting point guard with a mm-hmm. high level player. And then mm-hmm. you saw more and more of those instances where in the playoffs, he would take those minutes where, you know, Luka Doncic at that point wasn't on the court, and he would make those his own in a way that was mm-hmm. special and sparkling. And then you got to a point where, oh, okay, he can do this at a high level. I think that would happen in time. But as of right now, where the Rockets are, I just want to see him get some opportunities to be
yeah.
the version of the guy who's on the floor with this team in minutes and able to add in with the shooting that he brings. But yeah, I don't know that I don't see him being like the most special offensive player on a team that is actually contending in the way that you want to.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
From the 713, Cam Whitmore was underutilized and he can score the ball easily. Yes, but the scoring the ball easily isn't the problem.
He's in the doghouse.
I think that might be deeper than rap. Man.
He's in the doghouse.
Yeah. Yeah,
that might be a little deeper than rap.
When Ime said, yeah, I've told him that a lot, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
What you're alluding to is Ime was asked at that kind of exit interview type of yeah. presser, the idea of, you know, Cam Whitmore has seemingly talked about the, you know, mm-hmm. not knowing what he has to do to get on the floor. And yeah,
like, I've told him Ime's plenty. Like, no,
we yeah. are on the same page. We had that conversation.
You could kind of tell by his Cam Whitmore's body language, too, on
yeah.
the bench.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it might be a little deeper than rap. Man.
Yes.
From the 832, wow, you need a race car with Steve Nash comparison. I didn't compare him to Steve Nash. This is per.
No, they said Lopez needs a race car. I said, that was Reggie.
Wait, hold on, that wasn't me.
No, you brought him up.
Oh, well, yes, yeah, but that is from the ESPN article written by mm-hmm. Tim McMahon, where, I mean, we were alluding to this. This is from yeah. like over a week ago, that, you know, he's occasionally mentioned in the same breath mm-hmm. as Steve Nash when it comes to being a small point guard
yeah.
who played sparingly as a rookie and came along. But I think that's still a time thing. Like, mm-hmm. that's still going to be a time proposition. Ultimately, I'd love to see him get to that level, but
That's a big, big ask.
I don't understand that comparison at all, yeah, man.
That's a big
yeah,
ask.
Yeah, I don't look at Reed Sheppard and be like, oh, little Steve Nash, and I don't see that.
And that's a jump that I think, and I would like to see a jump, but I don't think that jump is readily coming
yeah.
for these Rockets. Mm-hmm. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on the YouTube. This is entirely off. This is just like the rookies. Brandon said, can't wait to troll and shout Jalen at practice and watch them all turn around. Okay, all right. I feel like man. That's not going to happen too long before somebody come over there and tap you on the shoulder like, hey, you might need to chill out. All right, yeah. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including somehow, some way, there's a new Pope. We'll do that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on this Thursday in the loop. And before I get into any of that, which one of y'all sent John Lopez cookies just for being a good person?
How about that? This is awesome. It's from some listeners that Reggie formerly knew quite well.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah. So shout out to the Twolos.
I was like, what's the occasion? Okay.
Shout out to the Twolos.
You know when I get cookies sent to me? On my birthday.
Dude, they're still warm,
you
man.
You got cookies sent to you just because?
Well, they say it's been a pleasure learning about you, mm-hmm. your traits, everything. Such a great personality for the airwaves. So take that, haters.
and that's from Twolo?
Twolos, the Twitch people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with that. I think they sent you some when you first got the job.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, salute to y'all, man. Yeah.
You see what I had to do to get cookies? I had to, like, get a new job and have a birthday job.
I just had to be me.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. No, but seriously, we appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, very anytime, much. Thank you. Salute. Thank you very, very much. They're still warm.
That's unbelievable. Oh. All right. Let's get into what's popping.
Some more stuff, man.
And yeah, let's do some sports stuff here.
Yeah.
Which immediately takes me away to a non-sports thing. Mm-hmm. Except it does point back to something, and I feel vindicated because this was a confession yesterday.
What's
for
that?
Me? Adam Schefter did the thing again.
Oh yeah, he did.
Where I learned that we as a world mm-hmm. are going to have a new pope via Adam Schefter tweet.
How about that? Live from the Vatican.
So now he's on the papal beat too? At 11:16 today.
So they got white smoke is what you're
white
saying.
White smoke, yeah. A new pope has been selected. He will soon appear at the central window
who's
of
your
St.
Pick?
Peter's Basilica.
Who do you want to be the new pope?
I don't know. Old boy from the Philippines? I don't know.
No, yeah. I'm pulling for Pietro Piolin.
Is that the Italian cat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any? Do you have a reason? What's on the back of his baseball card?
Because he's the only candidate I heard about.
Oh, okay. All
right. I seen somebody. I think he was black. That was the one
I saw. There is an African cardinal that came through, and that is
Pietro. Pope Pietro has a good ring to it.
Well, they typically don't go with their name. Like,
they
select,
pick another one.
They'll select a name.
They pick another one. Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll get another John Paul or something like that.
Or just keep your own Pope Pietro.
No idea. Somebody said it's my birthday today. No one sent me cookies. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, what's happening?
Hey, man, they sent me cookies just because.
All right. Okay. But yeah, one thing I will say that's nice and was popping is with the new pope, I bet the Cardinals are really happy about it. So people will calm down with all these damn Cardinals jokes.
Yeah, the pick is in.
It is. It is in. Do, 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 do.
Play it. Play it.
Okay.
Where is it?
Play it. With the plumage of white smoke, the Cardinals pick is in. And with that white smoke, we still don't know who they selected.
Yeah, I have no idea who they selected. But anyways, if you are so inclined, that is something that is happening.
Still on the clock.
Yeah. In the world at large. All right, so let's get into what's popping. Again, salute to the Houston Astros getting a victory to make sure that they did not get swept.
Yes.
You did it again.
The second day in a row you've done that.
I don't know what's wrong
that
with
should be a word. That should be a word. You should put that in the dictionary.
It's like, if there was a word that I could change that I know is nonsensical, but I want it to be that, Why is the plural of goose geese, but the plural of moose is not meese? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's something that
I would put conversate in there.
Conversate.
That okay, that's the one of those.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah.
It's in make the dictionary it a word, now. Baby. It's in the dictionary. Come on, Webster. Make it a word.
Come on, Webster.
It is. I think it is.
Conversate. Is that a real word, though?
No. But it is in the dictionary.
I got in trouble so many times in elementary school.
What you mean, like converse?
I'm trying to conversate.
No, converse. But now Webster's sellouts that they are have put that in there. By the way, another quick side note. I ticked off my son with my anal retentive grammar and spelling stuff. My son-in-law, because he was sending a text to the family, and he goes, he was talking about somebody who misspelt a word. And I said, well, that's irony.
Misspelled. All right.
Because it's misspelled. I don't know if he's talking to me for another couple of days or not.
Okay, so
yeah.
Apparently the Panthers are releasing edge rusher Jadeveon Clowney, per source. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Somebody said he's the Pope. All right.
He's the Pope.
So that is breaking news right this moment. Things are happening. New Pope, Jadeveon Clowney doesn't have a job, all sorts of stuff there. But again, going back to a 9-1 victory by the Astros versus the Brewers, and Framber Valdez gets a much needed win on a good day. Like he was
it's
very, only, very
it's
good.
His first win since opening day.
Yes.
Or his first start.
That's
crazy.
Isn't that something?
Wild to consider that.
Yeah.
That it was that long. But a 7-inning outing for him, 7 strikeouts and 101 pitches. So like a nice good outing for Framber Valdez. Which look, anytime you get good Framber, it's a good thing. I know mm-hmm. that people had already started having some of the conversations or you know, if the Astros don't find their way out of the funk that they seem to be in, is he up for grabs? And one of the things that you need to make sure is that he's putting himself on good display. What do you think it would have to be for Framber to be on that trade
schedule? I mean, record wise,
yeah, maybe.
I think it depends on if the Mariners are real, how far back you are. It's not so much your record, but how far back you are.
Fair enough. Yeah. If they're out of it.
It's a little tricky, though, because I felt like Dana Brown don't want it seemed like he's not really a seller like that. Like,
oh, and they don't want to send that message either.
Yeah, because I thought they was going to sell last year, mm-hmm. in which it was a good thing they didn't. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I feel like he's going to hold them cards too long.
Yeah, no, I so that's where I would fall on that. I actually think it's a possibility this year. Because look what happened, you know, this past offseason. They kept the whole Kyle Tucker thing. They kept waiting, and then they ended up having to you know, make that move, that decision. But I think it might happen this year if they're far enough back.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to be completely out of it, though. Yeah. And I feel like I guess the hope peddling is there, because I'm like, they should find their way back. And one of the things that maybe can give you hope is you found some extra base hits in a way that you just have not of late in this one. Obviously, we mentioned the Jeremy Peña 3-run blast that happened in the sixth. But also, there were some doubles involved. Yainer Diaz, also one of those guys who's trying to find his way into a little bit more comfort there. Like, what was the most encouraging thing for you from this 9-1 victory?
Obviously, you can't say Fromber, because you know the next start might be something that... But when he's good, he's really, really good. We know that. But it's just so unpredictable. To me, I think it's still Jeremy Peña. You know, he's established himself as the best offensive player and the best defensive player on the squad, not counting Jake Myers, who I don't think any of us really believe is going to be sustainable. I mean, as sustainable as it can get, you know, is what we're hoping for.
2-for-4 yesterday with a run.
Yeah, and an unbelievable catch, too.
1-for-4 with 2 runs is the way that I wanted to say that.
I think it's Jeremy Peña. I think just the fact that he's consistently – I mentioned it earlier, and this is why I looked it up. 22% of the season has now been played. That's a fifth. I mean, that's relatively significant, and he hasn't dipped and he hasn't wavered. I think that's probably important, especially when Jordan is not out, you know, is not in.
Yeah. So they'll be back in action at Daikin Park tomorrow versus the Reds. They'll get a chance and look at the 500 Reds as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up. Hunter Brown, the next one on the mound there. I'm surprised that you did not give it to me earlier. So here we go. I'll give you the opportunity. The Celtics did it again. They blow a 20-point lead for the second time in this series to go down 2-0. And it was, I will say though, it wasn't 3-point shooting per se. It was bad shooting, but it just, they weren't knocking down shots.
It was Jason Tatum.
You want to blame us on Jason Tatum here?
This game, Jason Tatum stunk.
I love Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
I absolutely, but I mean, you saw the game? What was he, 5-for-19?
Yeah, something? I think he had, 13 points?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
No, you can be fair.
The first game was Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown stumped the first game.
I mean, if we're being fair, Jason Tatum didn't step up.
I mean, I think that I would take this all the way around. Like, just...
It was bad, yes.
The shot making was bad, and
It wasn't only him.
No, it wasn't.
He didn't show up in this game. He stunk this game.
I mean, he's the dude on that squad. Well, he's one of them. He's definitely at the top of the list.
He's the superstar on that squad.
And by the way, Steve Kerr gets to feel a little better for not playing him in the Olympics.
I saw that.
At the end. No, look, I am not I hate three-pointers guy. What I did say is when you miss 45... When you're missing on the way to missing 45, you got to change your way. So I don't think that's necessarily the case here. I think it's more specific to, you know, you're up 20 again. You know, you're way up on this squad again. You're at home. Your superstar has to play. You know,
I mean, he did not have a great game, but the thing that I locked in on was with, you know, after they took that 20-point lead, 3 minutes left in the third quarter, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, they had 6 turnovers, which is terrible, and I think you can put a decent amount of that on Jaylen Brown, on Jason Tatum as well. They were 2-of-14 from 3, which obviously that's not going to help. But they were also 5-of-28 from the field in general, which means they were what?
They were just bad.
They were just like, what? 3-of-15 or 3-of-14 from 2? Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't getting anything. Just the shot making in general was bad, and the process was bad, and this just... They seem tight with a 20-point lead.
And they're defending champs. It's just weird.
It is weird.
It's just weird. Like,
in a game where one team is up 20, one of the teams looks real comfortable. The other one seems tight, and it's not the one that you would think.
Yeah.
And so that series switches back to New York. But there was shout out to the Thunder getting their job done. And then we mentioned the NHL had some really good games. I mean, it's been a good time in sports in those other places. And another thing, as sports is just deciding to do things, the Pittsburgh Pirates have already fired their manager.
What took them so long?
It's early.
Yeah, but
I thought it was early.
It is early, but yes, that has happened. So
yeah.
All sorts of wild
things. Back on the Celtics and Knicks, though, I mean, ultimately, we do have to give Thibodeaux some credit here. Their defense
they
is
playing defense, man.
But he's going
to Mikal Bridges playing street ball.
He's going to kill some fools out there, man. They're going
40
minutes a game.
Man.
And it's night after night. And they're playing their ass off.
Big part of that defense was Mitchell Robinson, who we played the missed free throw earlier for our question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
They were hacking him because he was such a problem defensively, not allowing folks to get to the middle. And he played a big role in that final play where Jason Tatum goes up the court. I mean, in a play that he had gotten a bucket on the previous possession, they recognized, they adjusted, and they locked it down and got a big block that stopped the Celtics from getting a victory. That one's wild.
It's crazy because the last two games came down to one shot, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum couldn't get nothing off, man. Mm-hmm.
Could not get anything off. So, yeah, man, it's wild, but I do also wonder, like, that's a team that is typically doing it by committee offensively in some ways.
Yeah.
Is it fair to try and extrapolate that further, or is this just that team in particular is shooting really poorly in this moment?
I think it's the defense too. And that's why I said I hate three-pointer guy. But the 45 thing was very irritating, but man, they are they had 13 possessions in a row. In the fourth quarter,
correct.
13 possessions in a row where they came up with nothing.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat that popped up on the screen. It was like 6 minutes without a field goal. It was something wild.
That was during that same stretch.
In the fourth quarter, I'm like, damn.
Yeah. He's going to kill some fools out there, though, man.
He's going to be tired by if they get to the Pacers. They're going to be tired.
They got a team that's situated for it, though. They do have a team that's situated for it. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about the Texans, because I think by and large, we're fine with what this offseason has looked like. You can even say, I think we probably like
it.
What this Texans team has done this offseason. Is there a now former Texan that you think this team will miss next in this upcoming season? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.